International Capital Market Insights from ICMA.
Welcome to the ICMA podcast. My name is Mushtaq Kapasi. I'm Chief Representative for Asia Pacific for the International Capital Market Association. The topic for today is the aging population of Japan and implications for the capital markets. We're honored to have as our guest today Mr. Satoshi Nojiri, Head of Retirement Institute, Fidelity Institute of FIL Investments Japan Limited. Hello, Satoshi. Welcome to the ICMA podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, thank you very much for being here. Why don't we get right into the questions? To start off, can you describe to our listeners what are the current age demographics in Japan? And how does that compare to other countries around the world?
I think we have to start to cover two aspects, level and speed, when we talk about age demographics or aging society. According to the United Nations World Population Prospects, the 2017 revision, which provided us a global comparison of populations in 2015, the proportion of those aged 65 years or over to total population came in at 8.3% globally and 17.6% for developed regions. Japan had the highest ratio at 26.6%, which frankly has only increased, coming in at 28.7% as of September 2020 this year. For comparison, the Germany was 21.1%, the United Kingdom was 18.1%, and United States was 14.6%. In Asia, South Korea has 13.0%, and Singapore has 11.7%. And then looking at the speed of aging, which is measured by the number of years it takes to increase the percent of elderly from 7%, we call that society an aging society, to 14%, we called it an aged society. The Japan took 24 years, which is very short compared to the 115 years in France, 72 years in the United States, 46 years in the United Kingdom, and 40 years in Germany. Recently, however, South Korea and Singapore are experiencing more rapid aging. The number of years from 7% to 14% is 18 years in South Korea, 20 years in Singapore, slightly shorter than Japan, and 24 years in China, the same as in Japan. So aging society is an urgent issue and big challenge for Asia.
Right. So that's super interesting. And that's interesting how you've raised two different aspects of the aging society. One, I was actually quite surprised to see that the proportion of those over 65 in Japan is more than three times that of the rest of the world or that of the global average. Yes. But also the fact that the rest of Asia is aging so quickly. So it's not just going to be a challenge for Japan as it is today, but it will very soon be a big challenge for other jurisdictions in Asia. So with people over 65 already representing almost 30% of the total population, the average life expectancy in Japan is now 87 for women and 81 for men. I just looked up the world average and it's between 72 and 73. So Japan life expectancy is actually much higher than the world average. What are the current implications for the overall functioning of the country as a society, the future of the nation's workforce, the implications for economic growth, and also, probably most importantly for your research, the solvency of the national pension and healthcare services?
This is a very important point. Aging society in Japan has entered a new phase in the 21st century. In the past, the number of elderly people increased, but currently, the proportion of those 65 years plus is rising because the number of working people is decreasing, while those of the elderly is expected unchanged. So according to the estimate by the National Institute of Population and Social Security Research in Japan, the number of people over 65 years old will remain unchanged over the next 50 years at about 38 million. But the population of those between 15 to 64 years old will decrease from about 70 million to about 40 million, or decrease over 30 million people. So it's labor market shrink. The labor market still has margin for improvement and should consider increase of number of working women and prolonging the careers of the elderly. And additionally, we can expect to see an improvement in the productivity. So I think the supply side may be in good shape. On the demand side, however, the consumer spending or consumption of 30 million working people will decrease. It is a huge number. So it is important to offset this by encouraging the elderly people to spend more while to keep their asset expectancy appropriate. So we estimate that the inheritance market in Japan is about 500 billion US dollar. And if 10% of it goes to consumption, we could increase 50 billion US dollar of GDP as a consumption, which is 1% of GDP. It is a huge amount. Under the current system, also the pension and health insurance system will face challenges. If they continue the way they are functioning right now, we called it a pay-as-you-go system. To counter this, it is necessary to encourage additional individual effort to save for retirement rather than rely on public pensions only. This includes enhancing tax-free system like defined contribution, DC, and NISA, which is a Japanese style of individual savings account in United Kingdom.
Okay, thank you. So you've highlighted some of the potentially large looming problems, particularly with economic growth, with the solvency of pensions. And you've touched upon a couple of the solutions, but more broadly, what is being done to address these emerging problems? Are there any plans to change the retirement age, retirement benefits, or has this been done already?
Yeah, the retirement age is rising now. The company are now required by law to eliminate mandatory retirement age system, to increase the mandatory retirement age from currently 60 years old to 65 years old, or to hire the retired person as temporary staff until that person is 65 years old. And also, during spring session of 2020 this year, the National Assembly decided that the company should make an effort to allow employee to work until the age of 70. To raise the retirement age is not easy, I think. But thankfully, this process has begun. And also pension age, the age at which you can get your pension benefit, is now on the way to be 65 years old. In order to improve the sustainability of the national pension scheme, the government has expanded the national welfare pension scheme, opening it to more company to enroll as contributors by easing the conditions to join. And the government also introduced a macroeconomic slide mechanism, which put a cap on some increase of the pension benefit according to level of inflation. I'm afraid that even all of these countermeasures might not sufficiently offset that impact of rapidly aging society. So we need to even further encourage citizens to prepare for their specific retirement needs.
Okay, and it would seem actually very politically difficult in most world societies to raise the retirement age to reduce benefits. Yes. But this has already been done to some extent, but it may not even be enough. And one potential concern, particularly I think in Japan, would be longevity risk, because Japanese households certainly have a reputation, I think the facts probably speak for it as well, to be quite risk averse when it comes to investment. They put most of their assets in low yielding bank deposits. Is this actually still the case today? Do the low, even negative interest rates pose a difficulty for the return of these savings portfolios?
We still have risk averse type of nationality. The government has had a slogan for years, from savings to investments, encouraging more households to shift from conservative cash-like to other vehicles like investment trust or the equities. Despite this, the ratio of cash deposit to household financial assets has remained unchanged for over 20 years with over 50%. But I believe that the issue is not about ratio. I mean, considering that two-thirds of household financial assets are owned by individuals aged 60 and over, encouraging the elderly to shift their asset mix from mostly savings to investments is not necessarily sound advice to that kind of the people. To clarify, the recommendation should be for younger generation to build assets by investing their income in riskier vehicles, including investment trusts or equities, not plain bank deposit. So based on this idea, NISA, the Nippon Individual Savings Account, was introduced in 2014 with a reduced capital income tax rate. So NISA was created based on the UK ISA scheme, and this change of tax benefit scheme is favorable to younger generations who are accumulating assets rather than to those who are seeking to profit to earn the trade profit to earn.
I see. So the focus is not necessarily on asking older citizens to invest in riskier assets, given that they're already in retirement, but looking at the long term and trying to get more, maybe not necessarily higher risk, but higher return investments for the long term solvency. Well, if you could maybe elaborate on this, a couple of the examples you've given, and comment more on the specific initiatives that the government is taking to ensure that individuals will have more financial security.
Yeah, the government policy aiming to increase money flow to NISA or defined contribution DC accounts is one of the main strategy to try to ensure the security after retirement. And nowadays, one way in which we are trying to tackle the challenge of financial security after retirement is by focusing on decumulation in addition to accumulation. We have discussed this at official forums, such as the FSA's Financial Markets Working Group, which I am a member of. Decumulation is actually quite a new concept for these talks, only initially brought up a few years ago in Japan. I believe that accumulation is, let's say, for future retirees focused on the building assets. And equally important that decumulation is for current retiree to expand asset expectancy by using proper distribution.
I have to confess, I hadn't really thought about that myself, being in my history as a capital markets banker and lawyer. It's not something that we think about as much in the industry. And I think a really important point for the long-term health of the pension system. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit. And I want to speak more, given we're ICMA, about the capital markets. So what is the role of the financial industry and the capital market here? We've spoken about government initiatives, but what are the types of products that are being developed? How have these been received by retail investors? What role are the actual financial institutions playing here to encourage these initiatives?
Although the financial industry hadn't identified them for decades, but there are different products and services when comparing the accumulation asset for retiree and accumulating asset for a younger generation. So recently, investors rapidly shifted to cheaper products or services for asset accumulation. And then industry has no choice but to respond it. In the decumulation phase or decumulation side, the people are recognizing the importance of services, financial services, perhaps even more than the importance of products. And the industry is even promoting research on financial gerontology to learn about how best interact with and services clients with weaker mental capacity. By getting old, we are getting weak in mental capacity. And then also the financial markets have the potential to help solve social problems, considering their role in times like, let's say, industrial revolution or the age of geographical discovery. It is easy to see that financial markets have the power to support developing new technologies and systems to help these issues that symbolize the times. Aging is another major challenge that will take, let's say, 50 years or 100 years to overcome. But as I said, financial markets should be able to help solve this problem. This is the raison d'etre of financial markets.
Well, that's a profound statement, and I almost think I asked the wrong question because again, right? I used to be a structurer, so the solution to everything is a structured product. But here in this case, it's not. It's better technology, it's better services to help a population that may have a bit other challenges in understanding financial products and in managing their assets, and frankly, who needs special tools because they're decumulating rather than accumulating. Mm-hmm. So a very, very helpful answer there. Well, a bit more broadly here, are there any characteristics unique to Japanese capital markets that are caused directly or indirectly by the aging population?
I'd like to touch on the history of products or financial products and the services in Japan. Japan originally offered its own financial products, such as monthly distribution type of investment trust. The elderly who desired a monthly distribution of income, like a salary income, when they are working at the company, so increased their investment in this kind of products. But many of them did not understand that hidden risk withdrawal at fixed amount of money, which we called it sequence of returns risk, which is very technical wording. But still, I think the function of distribution of asset is very important and should be improved for the future. It is inevitable that as people age, their cognitive skill and ability to make sound judgment decline. So there will be a need for independent financial advisors to help them manage their assets.
Right. So again, it's not as much the structure of the market or the types of products, but more the care that needs to be taken in disclosure, in client suitability, in giving sound advice for these types of products. This is 2020, and we actually have gone, I think, 20 minutes without mentioning the pandemic. So I do have to ask about this. The COVID-19 pandemic, has it triggered any shift in the attitude or behavior among Japanese retail investors, particularly the group who may not have been familiar with some of these investments? What have you found during this period maybe has changed, and what do you think might be the new trends that continue?
In March and April, when the spread of COVID-19 triggered turmoil in the financial markets, as you know, the younger people appeared to be more active in asset building. Number of the NISA account opened by online security company surged, and net investment in security in March and April jumped dramatically, according to the Family Income and Expenditure Survey in Japan. It is not yet clear whether the turmoil in the financial market was seen as a good opportunity for asset accumulation, or whether there are the sense of urgency to accumulate assets in anticipation of the rough road ahead sparked by financial crisis. But on the other hand, however, consumer spending has remained significantly sluggish, and there are concerns that this decline will affect corporate profits and employment, which can lead to a decrease of income in the near future. That's another issue, another aspect of this COVID-19 pandemic.
Oh, I see. So during the volatility, we did see, I suppose, a spike in activity But was that caused by the sense that there may have been opportunities in the market, or was that caused more by apprehension and fear about the effect of the pandemic? We don't really know. Maybe it's a combination of both.
Right.
Okay, we're just about out of time, so let me end the discussion with one last question. Mm-hmm. What other insights can you offer to other jurisdictions who are facing or may well face the same situation? You mentioned many other Asian jurisdictions that are very rapidly aging. And what are the lessons that have been learned from Japan that could be applicable to other countries?
Mm-hmm. The aging society or aging of a society is inevitable in every jurisdiction, I think. The question is whether we can prepare sufficient enough asset by then. In this respect, the rate at which we can accumulate enough asset is more important measure to understand that extent of one's preparedness rather than the aging population itself. So we should not care so much on the level of aging. And then since Japan trends to move slowly to introduce new government systems and the mechanism to solve issues like this, to be honest, there are many policies that fall behind. Therefore, instead of referring to improvement as singular event, it is better to understand any improvement as a system of cause and effect linked to the surrounding environment and circumstances. From here, you can gain insights that may prove valuable in each jurisdiction, I think.
Well, thank you very much for that. I found it extremely fascinating, this discussion. And I have to admit that when we first had the idea, I thought it would be very specific to Japan. But now I feel that this is an issue that all jurisdictions have to think about, because it's a very long-term problem. It takes a long time to solve. And you have to start thinking about the solutions very early in order to avoid some of the risks that we have today, not only in Japan, but around the world. Well, thank you very much for your time. I enjoy the conversation quite a lot. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And to all our listeners, thank you very much for joining this ICMA podcast.
Thank you for listening to this ICMA podcast. For more podcasts and more information about capital markets, check out our website, icmagroup.org.